Karina Chapman is a dating and relationship coach and a founder of Aligned Connections. She occasionally watches Bridgerton, and Karina's on the line. Good morning. Thank you for doing this.
Good morning.
I've not seen Bridgerton, but I understand what it's about. It's a series of very successful Regency novels set in the early 18th century, and the novels do very well, and so does the TV show. But there's a bit of a fuss at the moment because the author, Julia Quinn, agreed to changing a heterosexual love interest into a lesbian one, and the folks who like Bridgerton didn't like that. A petition of over 40,000 signatures said, "We don't want that." That does seem a surprisingly large response to me, but what do you think?
I was really surprised as well. I mean, a lot of people are much more accepting these days. So, and I mean, 4% of the world population identifies as something other than straight. So you wonder why there is such an outcry.
So I just wonder, as far as the show is concerned, do these lesbians have to look like lesbians? In which case, are we then going for some kind of stereotype? I mean, I've known lots of lesbians over the years, and they're not all twin sets and sensible shoes.
They're certainly not. There's plenty of different types of all sizes, shapes and forms who appear different, dress differently, just as anyone else does. But in the series, it is more in the Regency dress that they are, rather than looking butch or anything like that, like we may think is happening now.
Yeah.
But yes, it's certainly, because of the change, it's a bit of an uproar, which I'm really worried about what our view is of the future and the inclusiveness that we are all saying that we want to have happen, but it doesn't seem to be happening in this case.
So do you think this is because the people watching don't think it's true to the era?
I think that could be the case. However, there would have been lesbians throughout every single century and age.
Oh, yes, indeed. In fact,
it's not known.
There was a quaint phrase that was used in the 1800s, but maybe a bit later, a Boston marriage. Have you heard of that?
Oh, I have, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So, of course, it's been happening all the time. It's just not in the forefront, and especially not back then. It would have been something that was perhaps less talked about and maybe ignored.
But you see my point here. I mean, is it necessary for the people who want to see lesbians portrayed that that's somehow obvious? And if it's obvious, then doesn't it become a caricature? Because as I say, you know, I'm thinking of some of the lesbians I've known. There was a beautiful lesbian woman who used to cut my hair, and she and the girlfriend ran the salon, and she would tell me about her life and what it was like, and we'd talk about things. But, you know, she would have not been at all out of place as the fold-out in the lad's mag. I don't know. You see what I mean? Is it necessary that this desire for the lesbian, that somehow it's obvious to everybody that the characters portrayed are lesbians?
I think that a little bit of subtlety is a good thing, especially in that era. They're not going to be really out and out for everyone, I wouldn't think. But we can certainly understand and relate to the fact of what it would have been like to live in that particular time period and the challenges that would have been faced by those that weren't straight and wanted to demonstrate a loving relationship with same-sex partner.
So it's not just the heteros versus the lesbians. Apparently the people who watch the show want the show to remain, quote, white and heterosexual. And also, they don't want any overweight girls.
That's right, unfortunately. And of course, the star of the show is termed as being overweight. Although when we look at the reality of what overweight people are in the world, she's certainly nowhere near as big as a huge majority of the population are. And of course, with over 43% in research with the World Health Organization, adults are overweight, 43%. So that's really a big population that is perhaps struggling with their weight themselves. So surely some of them are not supporting this sort of new type of leading lady on screen.
I suppose I'm lapsing into the stereotype here, and I don't watch the show, but I feel I have some understanding of it. I would imagine the era mainly features women who have their whalebone corsets so tight they are liable to faint at any minute.
Exactly, that's right. Yes, I can't imagine that would have been very comfortable, and thank goodness fashion has come a long way since then.
Indeed.
But of course, back then there would have been different sized women as well, so it's good to portray a healthy section of the population rather than just one very narrow portion of them.
The season's lead, Nicola Coughlan, has been attacked over her body size, as we're saying. People have said a fat girl who wins the Prince is not remotely plausible. Well, who's to say what kind of girl the Prince likes?
Exactly right. Exactly. I mean, she's even been called being very brave for doing nude scenes as a plus-size woman, which I think is ridiculous as well. But obviously, there are a lot of people out there that have some sort of objection to this. And yet, I think she looks absolutely fabulous.
Looking at it from another point of view, really, as I say, I don't watch the show, but I imagine it's idealized romanticism. You know, it's a fantasy. It's not supposed to be a documentary on life in 1815, to my knowledge. It's supposed to be an entertainment, and one that I would think features people that, well, other people can watch and think, wouldn't it be lovely to be rich and elegant the way they are?
You're exactly right. It's an ultimate modern take on that sort of period drama. And I think that's what brings people in, is that it's got that modern twist, but it allows others to fantasise about what would it have been like to live then and be in that opulence and dress in that way, whereas most of the time we're all more comfortable in jeans and T-shirts these days.
But, you know, everything goes in cycles. That may change. Who knows? And apparently there are no brown people in it either. Does that, to your knowledge, represent how it was likely to have been in that particular sector of the society?
Well, as we know, back then, a lot of times we think of the Americans with black slaves, but I don't feel that it was the same in the Regency era, sort of in Britain. And there are some people with different coloured skins in there, and they have also been being attacked for not being what I suppose that the audience base feels that should have been portrayed. But I think it's a really great inclusion of diversity of all shapes, sizes and races, and really we should be celebrating the diversity rather than attacking it.
It depends, I guess, on the character too. Are you familiar with the name Yaphet Kotto?
No.
Okay. Yaphet is a big black guy, and I mainly remember him from a James Bond movie where he was the dictator of a corrupt third world country. And as I say, big black guy, great presence on screen, really delivers the whole thing. But there was a conversation one day about who should play whom, and Yaphet said, if anybody suggests I should play John Kennedy, they deserve to be laughed out of the room.
It's crazy, isn't it? And yet there's so many people with such amazing acting abilities, it shouldn't matter what type of skin colour that they have. It should be more all about the actual performance. But we've maybe got a little bit further to go yet.
I suppose. But, I mean, if you have an idea of what the character is going to look like and that character is portrayed by somebody who seems to be so different and so unlikely that they would be like that, then I can understand people saying, oh, that's a bit silly, like Yaphet did.
Yes, you're definitely right. Yes, it does depend on expectations, and especially if you, say, have already read a book that's turned into a movie and the character that you've got in your mind in the book is completely different, it is disappointing and it doesn't meet those expectations that you have, thinking that it's going to be a correct adaptation of the book.
Let's end on a generalisation, although really we've been talking about a particular show, Bridgerton, but as a generalisation, do you think that we are getting more relaxed about dealing with other human beings who may be a different colour or practice sexuality differently?
I think we are becoming a lot more accepting of that. And of course, in Australia, we have such diversity in different races and cultures that it's not unusual to walk down the street and see many different colours. And I really love that we are being more inclusive in that. So in our everyday lives, it seems to be a positive thing. Whereas on the screen, they've still got a little bit further to go, I think, before it's accepted just as well.
And on the other hand, of course, if you want to watch an elegant period drama, maybe you don't want to see a whole lot of people who look like the people you see down at the mall.
That is very true. They certainly don't wear the same clothes, that's for sure. Their costumes are amazing.
Karina, appreciate your time and comments. Thanks very much for coming on the program.
You're welcome.
Karina Chapman is a dating and relationship coach and founder of Aligned Connections.
Origin is about doing whatever it takes, taking no prisoners.
40 seconds and the countdown is on. Sterling.
Being ruthless.
Sterling, the man that plays 100% every time he runs.
Love it or hate it. We all love it.
No sporting rivalry has spawned more stories than State of Origin.
Rugby League history.
Welcome to Series 2 of Stories of Origin. Available wherever you get your podcasts, Stories of Origin.